I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. When there is an intersection with no stoplight and someone gets killed, it's sad and frustrating. When it happens periodically and still no stoplight gets put in place, the sadness gets absorbed almost entirely by anger. That's what Gaza feels like today, again. A short ceasefire, then finger-pointing by Israel and Hamas over who launched the first strike that broke the ceasefire, then more all-out fighting. I spoke with my colleague at the BBC, Martin Patience, about what that looked like today from his perspective. He's in Gaza City.
When you drive through Gaza City, you'll often be going down a street and all the buildings will be fine, and then you'll just come to a corner and it'll be a mosque or a home which has been hit, crumpled to the ground. The point is, nobody here knows where is safe. We've had three deadly attacks in UN schools, and Palestinians will say, you know, we simply don't know where to go. We just don't know where the next Israeli airstrike will come from. Israel, from its point of view, will say, well, Palestinian militants continue to fire rockets out of Gaza into Israel. Until that ends, until our people are safe, your people can't be safe either.
Have you been to any of these schools where people are seeking refuge?
Yeah, I've been to a couple, and it's pretty desperate. I mean, there's 60 or 70 people in the room. There's no running water. Many of them have been living there for many weeks. I was at one school which was hit by an Israeli shell. Israel says that it was firing on Palestinian militants operating close to the school. But a number of people were killed there, including children. They were killed in their sleep. And I asked people, do you feel safe here? And they said, absolutely not. And I said, are you going to leave this school? And they said, absolutely not. And I said, why not? And they said, because we've got nowhere else to go.
So you've got all this destroyed infrastructure, and this blockade, as you mentioned, is still in place. What about the level of humanitarian suffering in Gaza right now? I mean, where are people turning for food and clean water and hospital medical care?
It's very difficult. I mean, the UN has warned that the health system in Gaza is on the verge of collapse. Gaza is used to conflict. It's geared up for conflict. Its doctors are incredibly good dealing with these wounds and injuries. But the reality is that the hospitals here have simply been overwhelmed by patients. Hospitals there are exhausted. They haven't had any sleep in weeks. They say they're running low on supplies. There's no electricity. If you don't have a generator in Gaza City, that's affecting sanitation. The UN is warning of an outbreak of diseases. In terms of running water, well, there isn't any, so people have to get it brought in. In terms of food, there is food. There are supplies coming in, but the situation is desperate and there has been so much destruction. Gaza's only power plant, for example, has been hit. When this conflict is over, it will take many months, if not years, to rebuild the destroyed areas.
Tell me about your own situation, Martin, because, you know, I mean, just throwing this out there, we saw the UN spokesman last week break down on live TV. I know it's been really hard for a lot of journalists to kind of just absorb what's going on, and the BBC obviously is rotating people in and out. I mean, how long can you stay in Gaza and report kind of efficiently?
Well, I'll be in Gaza for about 10 days, and that feels a bit right to me. I mean, it is very difficult as a journalist. Obviously, you see horrific things. I was just at a cemetery a few hours ago when I saw a young girl, probably about 6 or 7, being buried. She was in a white shroud. I saw the blood in her face, and she was put into the cemetery along with her mother, who was in a green canvas body bag. So it's not easy to cover this, but I think as a journalist, as most journalists would say, look, it's not easy for us, but it's far, far, far harder for the people of Gaza. And we have a choice to come here, and we have a choice when to leave. They don't.
Our friend with the BBC, Martin Patience, who's in Gaza City. Martin, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.